All right, let's get the kids back up here and let's do it together as a family. Some of you were experiencing some of that introversion that you saw up here, that there was not a way you were going to jump up at all. That's kind of the way you are in worship on Sunday mornings, just as an observation from the front. But that's all right. Y'all good today? Are you happy today? Good, good. Before I get to my message, I want to say a few things, because I'm going to talk about respect, and I want to focus on that a little bit, but I want to say a few thank yous at the beginning. If you're visiting with us today, Cheryl and I have had the privilege of being with this church family for the last 2 years, and God's called us on to another ministry. So now, let me just ask you to do something. Will you pray for the congregation that I'm going to? Not only do they not know what's coming, but do you remember what it was like 2 years ago when you didn't have a clue what we were going to do? Some of you were fearful. Some of you were a little bit afraid. Some of you were a little bit, yeah, right, let's wait and see what happens. And there's going to be those in Westlock that are going to be doing that too. So because you walked the journey with us, just, you know, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first series I talked about with you was comfort those with the comfort that you've received. And so pray for those that are going to be receiving the ministry, that because they're in a time of turmoil, they're in a time of transition, they don't know what's coming on. And so you've been there, you've been through it, you've seen that the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. And I just invite you to pray for them. Will you do that for us? I appreciate that. A number of thank yous. And again, I thought about not even preaching today, but I do have a word for you, so I want to give it to you. As Pastor Ashley said, today's my final, so I get to say whatever I want because I'm leaving. So all the pent up, no frustration. A couple of thank yous. First of all, I want to thank David Reed. He's out in the back on the soundboard. If he would have not taken a phone call from the chairman of the board from Gibbons Alliance Church, we would not be here. We found favor with him, and then we met at Les's house and Deb's house for an evening around the patio, and we talked about what could be. And so, Dave, thank you. You took a risk on me, and I found favor with you, and I thank you for that. For the elders' board for the last couple of years, I want to just thank you because you entrusted the ministry with me and to me. And you know the conversations that we've had. You know the struggles that we've had. You know the lessons that we've learned as we've walked through this journey together. And by the way, church family, you have an amazing board. I've told you this from the very beginning, and it has proven to be true right till the very end. And you have a great board going into next year, because I kind of know what's going on. So thank you, gentlemen, and your wives. You've been a great encouragement to the staff, to Ashley and to Pam and to Candace and to Darcy. You have accepted me. Don't ever ask Pam about her first conversation with me, because it was one of those things where I think I scared her to death. And in fact, sometimes just ask her, how did you meet Pastor Bob? And you'll giggle about it. She didn't, but you will. Thank you for accepting me and supporting me and partnering with me as we led this great body for the next 2 years. I'd like to thank the worship teams and all the support teams that go with the worship teams, because you're the ones who set the table each week to worship God and to set us up to the place where we'd be open to hear from God. And I love you. I love all of you. But you partnered with us. You get a different perspective when you're on the worship team and you're up here on Sunday morning and you're ministering to people. So thank you to that. To those ministry leaders who continued to minister faithfully during these 2 years and the volunteers that stepped out with them, thank you for just running the course and trusting the process and allowing us to get to the place of where we are today. To the congregation who came each week to seek God and to be open to him, I want to thank you. You have leaned in. And one of the things that it's just a privilege at this end of this end of leadership is I get to see how many of you've grown. How many of you remember how awkward it was for you to stand next to me while Cheryl took your picture 2 years ago so I'd get to know who you were? I have those pictures. I went through them on Friday. And some of you kids grew 2 feet. I was going to see some of you adults But no, you know, you grew to, no, I'm just kidding. We all grew a little bit, didn't we? Christians love to eat. Yeah, that's all good. That's all good. Thank you for being open to hearing from God. Because sometimes you came and you weren't ready to hear from God, but yet you opened your heart. I want to encourage you to continue on. Will you do that for me? You will honor my ministry here if you lean in with Pastor Ken and Janelle. That would mean more to me than anything else, is that you would put your hand to the plow with them and that you would join arms and see what God has to do in and through you in the next several years. Don't let me come back and have to talk to you. Because I won't. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. I won't do that. To those that went to my leadership classes who have learned to pick up the mantle of learning to lead and adding value to others, you got to see a part of my heart that not everybody gets to see. And I want to just challenge you to continue to learn, continue to lead, continue to serve. And to my precious wife, Cheryl, who's here today. Isn't that cool? She's here today. She was able to walk in. Who's prayed, loved, and supported me in allowing me to obey my calling. That God has called me to help churches get healthy so that they can move forward. And so I want to thank each and every one of you. And I know some of you are sad. That's okay. We're sad too. But in the providential plan of God, our lives intersected. And for some, we've walked along very difficult times because you've had personal injuries and tragedies. For some of you, we've had celebrations. But we have done life together. Amen? And I want to just say to you, if you feel a little sad, it's okay. It means you loved us. And we feel sad because we love you. But that doesn't mean that your hearts aren't big enough to keep on loving others. Especially Pastor Ken and Janelle. Do you hear my heart on that? If you're not a grandparent, you don't know that you can ever love as much as you do your grandchildren. And I want you to realize that as you have the capacity to love. And so thank you for allowing us to be in your lives. It's going to be so interesting to look back over my life and go, I was a member in this church and a member in this church and a member of this church and a member in this church and a member in this church. And we're part of their history as God was able to use us. So I want to get sappy because if I do, I won't be able to recover. But we love you dearly. This has been probably two of the greatest years of our lives. And we have just marveled as we've seen God work in and through you. And we're proud of you. We're proud of you in a godliest sense of the way of what you've been able to do and lean in. So will you receive that this morning? Yes, Bob, would be the right approach. All right. And there's others. I've spoken to you one-on-one, and you know how much I love you and appreciate you too. But I want to thank you for just letting us be a part of that. But I am taking my table and chair and leaving. And now you know how to pray for the next group. Are you ready to hear from God's word?
Yes.
You okay this morning?
Yes.
All right. Let's look into God's word. I want to talk to you today about respect. And I think it's a great way to end our time together today. If you have your outline, I encourage you to follow along with me. And by the way, is Austin here today? Is Austin here?
He's looking after his little brother at home.
Will you make sure he gets this? Little Austin came up to me on Friday, or I think it was Friday, and brought me some cookies and wrote me a note that crushed my heart. And so I wrote him a little note back, but make sure Garth and Jody, I get to, you get that to give back to him. That's, anybody makes, that's too late for you now, but anybody that makes me peanut butter cookies knows they have a special place in heaven with me. So let's talk about the rudder respect. You ready? I'll try to do it as quickly as possible. Rudeness seems to be on the increase today. What do you feel is the what do you feel is the form of rudeness that irritates you the most? I'm going to give you the top 10 forms of rudeness that irritate me the most, counting backwards. Number 10, people who phone you and ask, "Who is this?" before they even identify themselves. Number 9, those who slurp their soup. Soup should be seen and not heard. Number 8, people who honk their horn in a traffic jam that's going nowhere. What good is it? You know, what's good is it going to do to honk your horn when you're going nowhere? It just doesn't work. Number 7, people who play rap music on their Bluetooth speakers while I'm at the beach reading a book. Number 6, people who spit on the street. Don't even let me go down that road. Oh, I'd like to rub some noses. Number 5, letting your children scream in grocery stores. Number 4, people who make more than people who take more than 10 items to the express checkout lane. People who litter my doorway with leaflets and door knockers that have all kinds of advertisements on it. That irritates me. People who leave sporting events early irritate me. That's rude. That's just rude. I mean, you paid for the ticket, play to the end. Like, it doesn't matter. Unless it's the Oilers, then you got all the right in the world to leave. I told you I'm leaving. I told you I'm leaving. No, good Lord, there's going to be a new season. That's great. Number 1 thing that irritates the willies out of me is people who come from the opposite direction and steal a parking spot that I've been patiently waiting for. Now, I know none of you are, you're more spiritual than I am, and you don't have a problem with that. But this is what I want to look at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or 13, verse 5 says this: love is not rude. Love has good manners. Rudeness is simply a lack of respect for others. Rudeness reveals that I care less about you. I'm only thinking of myself. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or whether it hurts you or not. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And you can summarize the word rudeness into one simple word. You might want to write this one down because it's important. It's called selfishness. Selfishness. When you're only thinking about yourself, that's when you tend to be rude. So what's the remedy? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, show proper respect to everyone. So number 1, why treat everyone with respect? Why should we treat everyone with respect? Well, there's 4 reasons why we should. First of all, because God made everybody. People are the crown of God's creation. Psalm 8 verse 5 says, you, God, made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. You see, folks, we tend to be rude to people we think are below us. I've never seen anybody treat someone who is higher than them in their own estimation. I've never seen them treat them rudely. In fact, they've gone overboard just to treat them wonderfully. Second reason is because Jesus died for everyone. 1 Peter 1, chapter 18, or verse 18 and 19 says, God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with his precious lifeblood of Jesus. That just shows how valuable you are. And another one is because it shows that I know God. How do you know you're a believer? Look at your relationships. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't or she doesn't know God, for God is love. Jesus was gracious with people. He protected people's dignity. The Pharisees didn't do that, but Jesus did. And lastly, because I'll get back what I give. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 said, a man's harvest and life will depend entirely on what he sows. So here's the point. Whatever you need in life, give it away. That's how you get it. If you want to get respect, you give it away. How do I respect people? Would you like to be respected by other people? Then you respect others. Emerson said this, manners are the happy way to do things. Proverbs 11, verse 17 says, you do yourself a favor when you're kind. You see, it never pays to be rude. Many of you are in business. If you want your business to shine, it's simple. Treat people with respect. If you treat people with respect, your business will increase, just because that's not happening in this world today. So secondly, so how do you show people respect? I want to get very practical for you this morning, because I think some of this could really, really be helpful for us to think about when we go day to day through the world that we live in. First of all, when you speak to people, be tactful, not just truthful. A lady tells this story. She said, when I was 20, a door-to-door salesperson came to my door selling magazines, and she was very blunt, and she asked me what the problem was with my hair. And she asked me in such a rude way. I told her I got a very sad look in my eyes, and I told her that I had just gone through another chemotherapy treatment. That's why I was losing my hair, and that I was very sensitive about it. I also told her that I would love to buy magazines from her, but would not be able to live long enough to enjoy them, as I only had a matter of months to live. She goes on to say this. Would you believe this woman commented that I should still order the magazines because my husband could enjoy them after I was gone? That's rude. You see, the primary way that we are rude, write this down, is with our words. Proverbs 15:33 in the Good News Version says this, what a joy it is to find just the right word for just the right occasions. Tactfulness is thinking before you speak. If you really want good people skills, develop tactfulness. Learn how to say things the right way. Tactfulness is relational lubrication. It minimizes the friction between people. Someone says, when you use tact, you have less to retract because you think first. And I can't overestimate the importance of tactfulness. Yes, Christians are called to be truthful, but we're also called to be tactful too. What's the definition of tact? Tact is what you thought but didn't say. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Tact is when someone tells you to jump off a cliff that makes you look forward to the journey. Tact is treating everyone as if they knew what they were talking about when they don't. Tact is the art of telling someone he's open-minded when he's just has a hole in his head. Tact is changing the subject without changing your mind. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. People often say, I heard this when I was growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. That's not true. That's not true. Names do hurt. And they hurt worse than sticks and stones. In fact, you can break a physical bone and it will heal in a matter of weeks. But someone who has been wounded emotionally by your words, it may take years to heal those scars. Sometimes you need to tell it like it is with tact. Like the man who came up to the pastor after the message on the parable of the talents and the pastor, and he said, Pastor, my talent is to speak my mind. And the pastor said, that's one talent you should bury. Before you're frank with anybody, you need to stop and ask yourself. Here's an acrostic for the word think. It really is helpful when it comes to what is it that you need to say to somebody. Here's what you need to do. First of all, is it true? Is it true? Secondly, is it helpful? Is it going to help the person, or is it just going to make you feel better? I stands for inspiring. Is it inspiring? Are you going to help that person? Are you going to raise them up? Are you going to influence them in a positive way? Encourage them to move forward? And is it necessary? Is it really necessary for you to point it out? And think, is it kind? Is it kind? You see, is what am I about to say going to build up the relationship or tear it down? So I need to understand that, yeah, I need to tell the truth, but I need to be tactful. Secondly, when we're served by people, be understanding, not just demanding. Go to a Swiss chalet after church on Sunday sometime. See what you see. Ask the servers if they get up on Sunday morning and go, oh, I can't wait to serve the people after church. They can't get people to serve the people after church because of the way that people that come after church treat the people that are serving them. Luke 6, verse 31 says, do to others what you have them do to you. That's the golden rule. How you treat people who serve you. How do you do that? You see, one of the great tests of Christian character is how you treat a waitress or a waiter. Are you understanding or are you demanding? Eric Hoffer said this, rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Rudeness is a weak man's imitation of strength. The secret of great service is to treat people with respect. Be understanding, not demanding. Proverbs 16, verse 21 says, a wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. Would you like to be more persuasive with your children? With your husband? With your wife? The Bible says the best way to persuade is to be pleasant. As somebody said, don't raise your voice, reinforce your argument. You catch more flies with honey than? Some of you need to Google that. Vinegar. And the best place to practice this is in your home. Often we're more polite to strangers than we are to the very people that we live with all the time. We say that we say things that are rude and act rudely to the people we love the most. Courtesy is showing love in all the little things. Emerson said this, courtesy is made up of little sacrifices. That's what manners are called, little sacrifices. It's the little things that irritate us. Rudeness can kill a marriage. Do you remember how polite you were when you were dating? I read about a couple who actually got an annulment on the basis of the fact that the husband was so rude. Evidently, his wife went to court and claimed her husband burped all the time, and that was annoying to her, that he should have been more considerate. Interesting. Another point. When you disagree with people, be gentle, not just judgmental. There's a lot of things that take place in this world that I disagree with. I don't agree with everything that you do, and you're a Christian, and you don't agree with each other. Am I supposed to run around as a personal policeman trying to police unbelievers? No. Romans tells us what we're supposed to do. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 13. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block in your brother's way. There are two things that you need to remember, and I need to remember when I disagree with people, whether it's their behavior or it's their standards. Two things. One, recognize that everyone will give an account before God. Everyone. And number two, remember that you're not God. There was a skit in Saturday Night Live years ago with Chevy Chase. He used to come out and he used to do a news show. Some of you would remember it if you're older, old like me. He used to come out and he'd say, I'm Chevy Chase and you're not. When I heard about that, I was thinking of God saying, I'm God and you're not. The unbelieving world is not accountable to me or to you. It's accountable to God. James chapter 3 says, whenever there is jealousy or selfish ambition, there will be disorder. But wisdom from above is peaceful, gentle, and friendly. Wisdom from above is peaceful, gentle, and friendly. Not argumentative, not destructive, not devastating. When you shoot the arrow of truth, you need to dip the point in honey first. Be pleasant and be persuasive by being pleasant. This is a great story. One of the best examples was a guy by the name of John Woolman. He was an 18th century Quaker, and Quakers are Christians, and they call themselves the Friends or the Society of Friends. Woolman in the 1700s became concerned that many Quakers were slaveholders. As a young man, he was determined to rid the Society of Friends of this ugly plight, and his strategy was simple. He didn't picket, he didn't hold mass rallies, he didn't preach harsh sermons against slavery and slaveholders. He didn't go gathering names on a petition. He didn't go on a hunger strike. He didn't chasten or threaten or organize committees. For 30 years, he traveled up and down the countryside visiting with slaveholders. And he would go into their homes and he would accept their gracious hospitality and gain their respect. And then he would simply and quietly ask this question. How does it feel to be a child of God and own slaves? And that's all he would say. There was no condemnation in his approach because he believed that slaveholders were people of conscience and that they could be helped by making the right decision. He asked bold, disturbing questions that caused changed hearts in the Quakers. And he was successful in his dream, so successful in ridding the Society of Friends of Slaves that 100 years before Civil War, not one Quaker owned a slave owner before it became law. Powerful. Today there are many wrongs that need to be right. But what kind of person can God use? John Woolman is just one example of such a person. Perhaps his greatest strength was that he was tactfully bold. Tactful in the sense that he respected the intellectual abilities of others and led them to make the best decisions based on their own enlightenments. Bold in the sense that he risked his reputation and influence on a sensitive subject matter a century before it became a public cause. Tactfully bold. And lastly, well, not lastly, we got a couple more. For those of you following along. When you share your faith with people, respect them. Don't reject them. And that's the basis of the ministry on the weekends here and in every church that I've served. First Colossians chapter 4 says, be tactful with those who are not Christians. Talk about them agreeably and with favor of wit, and try to fit your answers to the needs of each one. It's amazing how some people can take the most positive message in the world, the good news, and turn it into the most negative message. You see, a lot of evangelism is a subtle put down. I'm saved and you're not. I'm good, you're bad. I'm up, you're down. Sometimes it's not even that subtle. I love Billy Graham's definition of evangelism. He said, evangelism is sharing the good news. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Jesus never spoke to people that way. He was kind. He was gentle. He was generous. He was respectful. Now, the Pharisees, they spoke that way, but Jesus never did. 1 Peter 3 says, if anyone asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him and do it in a gentle and respectful way. When you share, let your light shine. It doesn't say be a blowtorch. You don't burn people into heaven. Does that make sense? You got a whole community that I know Pastor Ken wants to partner with you to reach. Be a light, not a blowtorch. When people come in, accept them just the way they are and let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting and you do the loving. Amen? All right, last one. When people are rude to you, respond politely. Don't respond by being rude yourself. When someone is rude to me, I want to be rude right back. There was a webpage that said, what do you say to rude people? A lady said this, my favorite thing to say when someone asks me about my hair is, God doesn't want anyone to be perfect, so he gave me bad hair. What did he give you? Rudeness never pays, but kindness does. And Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, do not repay evil for evil, overcome evil with good. So I want to encourage you to join me in a war against rudeness. The more machines act like people and the more people are beginning to act like machines, we're in a bigger trouble. As our world becomes more and more crowded, as the stress level goes up, people become rude. But I want to challenge you to join me in a polite revolution. Let's all work together. Love is not rude. It's polite. The one thing you're going to be judged for is how you treat other people. And I want Fort Saskatchewan Alliance to be the most polite, courteous family, loving church family possible. And when people come to Fort Saskatchewan Alliance church family, I want them to say this. They love people there. It doesn't matter what you wear, what you look like, they're friendly there. They give up their seats. They let you in the parking spot. They're really friendly. That's what God wants us to be. Not God wants me to be that way, and I know he wants you to be that way so that we can make a difference in this world. Will you pray with me? Father, this is just a simple message today, but it's an area we all need to work on. I need to work on it, and I'm sure others here do too. We'll probably be given dozens and dozens of opportunities to work on it this week, where we have the choice to be either courteous or rude, polite or selfish. I pray that we'll make the choice that Jesus would make. Help us to realize as we go out this week that every person we come in contact, they're somebody, somebody you created. Every person we speak to this week is somebody, Jesus, you died for. They matter to you and they ought to matter to us. And help us to see that it really shows we're believers, that we really know you by our actions and by the way we treat others, and that we would give out what we're going to expect to get back. And as we close today, would you pray this prayer in your heart? God, when I speak to other people this week, help me to be tactful, not just truthful. I know the right things to say, and may I know the right times to be quiet. And when I'm serving my people this week, help me to be understanding, not demanding. Help me to realize that it's pleasantness that's persuasive, not rudeness. And Father, when I disagree with people, help me to be gentle and not judgmental, to realize that you're God and I'm not. We'll all give an account to you, and the wisdom that comes from you is peaceful and gentle and friendly. And as you give me the opportunity to share my faith, help me to respect people, not reject them, to talk to them in an agreeable way and try to meet their needs, to win them over with love. And most of all, when people are rude to me, help me to respond politely, to overcome evil with good, because I want to do this for Jesus' sake, because I love you. And I want to stand before you with a heart that is pure. And we pray this all together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, God bless you. I love you.